My name's Alex Webb. I'm here on behalf of the Wellcome Trust. It's the 10th of October 2009. Could you please get your full name, your date of birth, and where you come from?
Okay, my name's Angela Howarth. My birth date is 18th of the 4th, 63, and I'm from Liverpool.
So what did you first hear about the project?
From my line manager in work. And she told me about, we were sitting having lunch and she was telling me about it. She'd found it on some website to do with orangutans or something, and there was a link to one another. So she'd found out it that way, and then she was telling us about it in work the next day. Yeah.
And then what inspired you to take part?
I just thought it was a really novel idea, and I knew some of Anthony Gormley's work from the Angel of the North, and I don't live far from Crosby. My mum and dad live in Crosby, and he's got these statues on the beach, which are brilliant. And I went on the website that night to have a look a bit more about the project, just out of curiosity, and thought, oh, I just applied. And I've never been, it's very spontaneous for me, I have to say. So, yeah, that was it.
Uh-huh. And what were your thoughts and feelings when you found out initially?
Oh, I was just, well, it's a wonder you couldn't hear me screaming in London, really, because I was just so excited. Yeah, really excited, jumping about. There was only my son in at the time when I got the email through, and I went screaming through the kitchen to tell him, and then I phoned my line manager second, because I thought, well, she told me all about it, so I thought that she should know, be one of the first people to know. So I was literally screaming down the phone at her as well. Yeah.
So what do you plan to do in the plant?
I'm going to do Tai Chi and Qigong. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I teach Tai Chi, and I've been doing it, practicing it for about 14 years now. And it's just part of my life. Mm-hmm. It's taken me to different countries. I've met lots of different people that I would never have met. Mm-hmm. I've made loads of friends through Tai Chi, and it's helped me keep calm through the teenage years of my children. They might have been dead otherwise. So yeah, that's what I'm going to do for my hour.
Great. So could you tell us a little bit about those countries and maybe some of the, you know, the stories that you...
Right, well, I'm with I'm a member of the Yang's Martial Arts Association, which is based in Boston. Well, actually it's based in Boston and California now. Master Yang's originally from Taiwan and moved over to America in the 70s. Started up this association, and it's a worldwide organisation now. There's a few branches in Britain, one in Liverpool, one in Chester, and one in London. And every year up until last year, he used to travel for half the year to different schools doing seminars. And that's where I first met him, was it in one in North Wales, actually, because there used to be a branch, like a school in North Wales, and then it changed to Liverpool. And he came to Liverpool for about 9 or 10 years in the October, and we'd do a full weekend, Thursday night, Friday night, all day Saturday, Sunday. Mm-hmm. And in addition to that, he used to hold a summer camp each summer in different countries, and they would be like 12 to 14 days long. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I went, the first one I went to was in Portugal in 2005. Mm-hmm. And there was about 140 people there from all over the world. It was amazing. It was just like a big, happy family.
Yeah.
Weather was fantastic. It was really, really good. Really buzz from that. Made friends, different parts of the country. We've got a Facebook page for the YMAA and that, you know, so always in touch about what's going on. And then a couple of years later, I went in 07, I went to Paris. They did the summer school in Paris. And was that, I think that was the last one, or did they do another one? I think that was his last one, because he's based himself in California now. And he's, it's called a retreat center, and he's got students there now who had to apply to do a 10-year program because he wants to teach them in the traditional, in a traditional sense. Mm-hmm. So they live, sleep, work, train there for 9 months of the year. And I think he's got 4 or 5 students at the moment. He's going to take on some more, but it's a 10-year program. Mm. Because he wants to be able to hand down all the things that are getting lost, you know, lost in translation, I suppose, really. Because as time goes on, things get modernized and changed, well, as they do anyway, you know. but he doesn't want the ancient art to die out completely. So he's training them in that way. And
is that very rare?
Yeah, I don't know of anybody else who's done it. I mean, I'm not saying nobody else has, but I mean, it's taken a lot of time and commitment and an awful lot of money on his part to do that. Mm-hmm. He was originally based in Boston, and the school's still there. His son's taken over now. Mm-hmm. Sort of the head, or the, I don't know if they call him president, I don't know. And Master Yang focuses on the retreat centre now. So people can go and train with the trainees, and he does, there's been a summer camp. One of the lads from Liverpool went for 6 weeks over the summer to train there. So you can go, other people can go and train in short blocks, you know, either a weekend up to 6 weeks, whichever.
So it just totally varies. Like,
yes, yeah. Okay. But the lads that have been picked, they're there all the time, and they work and eat, sleep and breathe Tai Chi. How good's that? Well, it's Tai Chi and Shaolin.
Yeah.
It's more, you know.
So could you tell me your inspiration, you know, what inspired you to, you know, get into Tai Chi initially?
Oh, well, I was at the time, I was going to an adult education centre to do dressmaking, and that was over the summer, and they brought out their programme for September, and it had Tai Chi on, and I just thought, I like the sound of the name.
Yeah.
You know, and it was as simple as that. And before I went, my husband said to me, well, you do know it's a martial art. And I said, no. I said, no, it's not. I said, just people do slow movements, you know. And he went, oh, okay then. And the first question the teacher asked was, does anyone know what Tai Chi actually is? And I stood there thinking, oh, well, I don't know really what it is. And he said, a martial art. And I thought, oh, I've got to go back now and apologise to my husband. So that should have either put me off or something. But that's how I started. That's how it all began. And it was just so relaxing and peaceful. And it was a couple of hours of me time. The children were a lot younger then. I think the youngest one was 2 at the time. So, you know, it was just a bit of time for me,
yeah.
And it was heaven.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could you describe some of the things you're going to do on the plinth?
Yeah.
Whether if the methods or techniques, you know.
Yeah, I'm going to do Qigong in the classes that I attended, and then also in the classes that I teach. We do a mixture of Qigong and Tai Chi. And the Qigong, you basically stand in still, and it's arm movements.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that'd be a good way to start, to sort of get myself acclimatized to being up that high. I'm actually the whole hour sort of tells the story of my Tai Chi journey, apart from my weapons journey, because I couldn't bring any of my weapons today.
Sorry, yeah.
Yes, no, I didn't bring any. Though that everybody always was saying, "Are you bringing your sword?" You know. But no, when I first started out, I went at the Adult Education Centre. So I'm going to do the Qigong set and the Tai Chi form that I learned there. And they're ones that I teach as well. And then I'm going to do another Qigong set, which is a YMAA Qigong set, because I'd been going there about 18 months, and the teacher that we had joined the YMAA, became one of the instructors. So Mike, who's a really good friend of mine, we've been training 14 years or whatever it is, We switched over to that, to the YMAA. So then we were learning other things then. So I'm going to do a Qigong set from them.
Okay.
And then I'm going to do the Tai Chi form, which is, it's what Master Yang would call classical Yang style.
Mm-hmm.
That takes about 20 minutes on its own.
How does that differ from the other styles?
The other, well, I mean, there are a number of styles in Tai Chi, basically, roughly, loosely connected with different families, and sort of handed down and changed and gone off in their own little ways, and forms are being developed all the time. The one I'm going to do first is the 24 form, which is a very, very common form that was only devised in the 50s back in China for people to do for health, because they realised that, you know, it was a good thing for people to do for health, but they didn't want them to do the fighting side. So the movements are based on martial art movements, but made a lot easier, really.
Yeah,
and non-threatening. Mind you, if you explain to people what you're actually doing, it can look quite threatening. You know, it can, you know, they'll sometimes say, oh, well, I thought it was supposed to be relaxing, you know. But there is a purpose to every move. That it's not just arms and feet moving mm-hmm. to whatever. So that the second form I'll do is classical Yang style, mm-hmm. and sometimes called the long form, because it's three sections. So one will just flow into the other. Mm-hmm. Each section finishes exactly the same, though. And this is Master Yang's form. There is a traditional Yang style form, which is quite similar, but his is much more martial based, much more accurate with the martial movements. Mm-hmm. He's very, very particular mm-hmm. about that. And then I'm going to finish off doing Tai Chi Fan, because that's the latest thing that I've done, and that's with an instructor in Wolverhampton called Fei Yip, and her father devised the form.
Wow.
He lives in Beijing. And it was performed publicly for the first time when China were bidding to have the Olympic Games in 2008. So I think it was probably done about 2001 or two, something like that.
Is it one of the most recent forms?
Yeah, it can't be that old, because I don't know what year he devised it, but that was, it's only been publicly performed mm-hmm. since when China were doing their bid for the Olympic Games. Then he had, I don't know how many people in Tiananmen Square dressed in white with red fans all doing it together. And just, so you can go onto YouTube and it looks fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, really, really impressive. And very loud, because it's very noisy, the mm-hmm. fan, when you open it. I don't know if you'll hear anything being outside, but mm-hmm. indoors it sounds really, really loud. So I'm going to finish off by doing that form. It is set to a piece of music, but I'm not taking anything up there with me. So I'll just do it at my own mm-hmm. pace. But I'm going in next month. I'm going to do the instructor's course to become a qualified instructor in the fan form.
Wow.
So that's it.
That's great. Is the boundary, like the nature of the boundary, going to come into the performance as well? I'm just wondering, you know, when you train or teach, are you working with like a specific boundary or?
In terms of space. Floor space,
yeah.
No.
Is it?
It's whatever size room we've got, really, because mm-hmm. different venues that I teach in,
yeah.
I've either got, I do one class in a museum and I've got a massive space, which mm-hmm. is great. Unless they put an exhibition in there and then we're sort of squashed into a corner. But otherwise, it's a massive space and it's brilliant. And I've got quite a small room mm-hmm. in one of the church halls that I do. Mm-hmm. But I've had my living room measured out so that I can sort of practice mm-hmm. doing it, because that's not big enough. It's yeah. not wide enough.
Does that mean you've had to cut down some of the moves?
I haven't cut them down. I've just adjusted directions. Yeah. I might have to make some of the moves a little bit smaller. I mean, it doesn't really matter, because mm. Tai Chi can be done anywhere and it can be adapted. You adapt to your environment. Mm. You know, so if you're in a room full of people, I mean, I've been in a room where there's 50, 60 people training together. Well, you have to adapt.
Note, yeah.
Yeah, so you adapt to your environment. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm going to do up there, adapt mm-hmm. to my environment. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So with the plinth, what are your hopes and fears and expectations about going up there?
I don't think I've got any fears as such.
You mentioned heights earlier, but is that a slight...
No. I used to be petrified of height. Even if you'd asked me to stand on that table, I just would not have done it. But I think as I've got older, and I suppose when you get to a certain age, which you haven't got to by a long chalk yet, you know, you just go for things, don't you? You only live once at the end of the day. And I mean, 20 years ago, I would never, ever have contemplated doing anything like this. But Tai Chi's given me the courage to be the person that I am today. And I'm just really excited about it. I think it's a really novel idea, and I'm not a show off in any sort of way, and nobody's ever seen me do all the stuff that I'm going to do mm-hmm. on there. Even my students won't have
seen. How do you feel about that? This is the first time. I mean, this is such a platform.
Yeah. I suppose it's quite good to sort of have the opportunity to showcase it, because when I'm in a class teaching. I mean, I think the longest anybody's been with me is about 5 years. So, you know, They don't, and plus I don't teach the YMAA syllabus either, so they don't know that bit of it. They don't know that form. They have seen me do the fan because we did a festival in Liverpool a couple of weeks ago, where we were in one of the streets in Liverpool. They had different acts going on, so we did Tai Chi, but that was with, there was about 15 of us doing it. But I did do the fan on my own because I thought that would be good practice to do something on my own in front of people, and it went fine. It went fine. I get look very serious because I focus, you know, I take no notice, and I think actually in some ways that would be better up there because you're not at eye level with people, whereas this was all street level, you know. So I think it'd be okay. Yeah, hopefully I won't fall off or wobble. Because you know, there's quite a bit on one leg and stuff like that. But
well, I'm glad you've measured the boundaries just in case. You know,
yes, well, I had to because they move around so much that I had to have an idea of what's what, you know. So yeah, but you know what they say about best laid plans and everything. It might not go that way. But what I always said to my students, if they're demonstrating, is, well, just keep smiling because nobody knows what's right or wrong. If you make a mistake, how are they going to know you've made a mistake? Only if you were to stop and freeze or something. But if you carry on, nobody knows. I mean, I made a mistake when I did the fan a couple of weeks ago, but nobody knew. Yeah. Everybody said how good it looked. And nobody knows if they don't know. If they've never seen you do it before, if they've never done it themselves, then they can't. And nobody out there who's come with me knows all of that stuff that I've done. They might know some of it. Or they might, do you know what I mean? They might know one of the forms, but they won't know the other one and things like that. So so it's quite
pressure.
Unique. It's
no pressure.
No.
Could you tell us a little bit about your background as well? Is that okay?
Yeah.
You know, where you're from and just...
Right, I am from Liverpool. I lived up in, my mum's a Geordie, so we lived up in Newcastle for a couple of years in my very early years. We've still got family up there. And I've been in Liverpool since I was 8, so that's a long, long time ago. Worked in a bank, first of all, when I left school. Then I left that to become full-time mum. I've got 4 kids. 3 stepchildren, 2 step-grandchildren, a cat. Must mention the cat. She's at home alone. I now work in education. I work for the Adult Education Service where I first started learning Tai Chi. I actually started working there teaching Tai Chi. And then I went on and did a teaching qualification, a Cert Ed, and became a line manager for performing arts and sports tutor. So I've got a desk job, but it's only 15 hours a week, so that's just about okay. But other times, and I've got some private Tai Chi classes, and I also teach now. I teach people who want to be teachers in adult education as well. So I've got a very varied week, which is great, because you're never in the same place.
I can imagine that balance is like, you know, there's some kind of pressures on.
Yes. Yeah, it's great being able to do the Tai Chi, you know, and Wednesday, I work on a Wednesday afternoon in the office, and Wednesday morning I have 2 classes before I go in there, and it's always great because you get in there pretty stressed out. And
you
I'm
must
just,
be the most chill
just,
one anyway.
Chill,
just
yeah, like, yeah, just yeah, yeah. Well, I've started doing Tai Chi for staff as well, yeah, and I do it on a Monday morning at 8:30 before they start work, and one of the senior managers came up to me and said, she said, they're so chilled for the rest of the day. You know, it's really, she should do it every day, shouldn't they? I don't think they pay me to do it every day, though.
Should you get a bonus for that?
Yeah, I should. Yeah, hey, that's an idea. I'll tell them you said that. Yeah. For chilling the staff out.
Yeah, exactly.
So there we go. Yes, that's me, I think, in a nutshell.
And so do you think going on the plinth, will it change something for you, perhaps?
No idea, really. I don't know what to. I'm not the type of person who has expectations. I'm more of a sort of open book type of person and see what happens. Whether people contact me about Tai Chi afterwards, I have no idea. It might up the profile. I don't know. it doesn't really bother me whether it does or it doesn't. You know, it's just, it's that 1 hour, isn't it, in time, and whatever happens is good.
Yeah.
Whatever happens is good. Yeah.
And who would you say you're doing this for?
I would have to say it was me. Yeah, I think for me, I think it's to prove to myself that, I suppose in some ways I'm quite a self-conscious person, would you believe? and I think part of Tai Chi is trying is about getting to know yourself and to challenge yourself and to push some of the boundaries. I mean, you could stay the same, but life doesn't stay the same anyway, you know. Life throws you up challenges even, and I think it's good to challenge yourself, and this is a challenge.
Yeah.
This is a challenge, but in a positive way. And so I think that's probably the main reason for doing it, really. You know, to be out there, to be, well, accessible really to anybody who wants to watch, because it's there on the internet. It's there out there in the middle of London, you know. You know, so that's. It could be daunting, but I'm hoping to be able to keep myself calm enough to enjoy it and not to be daunted by it, you know, because I want to enjoy it. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
And then lastly, what would you say is most important in your life at the moment?
My family are the most important to me in my life, and my Tai Chi. Both of them are really important to me, you know. My Tai Chi helps me cope with family at times, you know. But the family, they're great, you know. Kids are wonderful. The grandkids are even better.
Yeah.
Because you can, I don't know, you just have more fun with them because they're not yours, do you know what I mean? And they go home and what have you, you know. So, that's the most important. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for the interview.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you.